Thank you for subscribing to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. With our vision for the year being stronger and stronger, we pray that this message strengthens and equips you for the work of the ministry that God has called you to. Let's join one of our pastors now.
A group of travelers were being made to wait on their airplane, which was late due to another flight being canceled. The crowd looked horrible and impatient as the time went on and on. Finally, an angry passenger, very frustrated, he made his way to the front of the line, slammed his ticket down and said, "I must be on this flight now and I must be in first class." The flight attendant, trying to be nice, said, "Sir, we will get you in as soon as possible, but you've got to wait in line like everyone else." He quickly said, "Ma'am, do you have any idea who I am?" Without hesitation, she smiled, picked up her intercom microphone and said, "We have a passenger here at the gate who does not know who he is. If anyone can help him, his identity needs to be known. Please come to gate 17. I thought, that's right there. A classy flight attendant is able to take a situation and turn it into humor. But have we ever, I can relate to this guy, you know, in the sense of impatient. I don't know if anybody here is like that, but I relate. I have a hard time waiting. It's tough. It's a tough thing for me. You ever been forced to sit and wait on something? If you're a hunter, you know exactly what waiting means. Nightless mornings, nights and mornings where nothing comes, and you're just, "I'm waiting and waiting," and then it gets dark. Oh man, or your stomach starts going, "I'm hungry." And you're waiting and waiting. Pregnancy, waiting 9 months. Come on. All of you that have been pregnant, or if you're like, "I can't wait to see." In fact, we can't wait so much that we developed ultrasounds and all these things. Now they got the 3D one, so you can see the whole picture of the face. It's pretty accurate. It's kind of amazing. But can you just wait? No, you can't. We got to spend whatever money's necessary so we can see what we're going to eventually see anyway. Just want to see it digitally. Patients sitting out in the waiting room waiting on a doctor. Anybody been there? Good grief, they take forever. But then when they're with us, we're like, "They can wait because they're with me now." You know. But we understand waiting. Husbands, y'all understand the definition of wait, especially if you've ever been shopping with your wife. You're waiting and waiting. Some of you are like, "Yeah." Teenagers, 14, 15 years old, can't wait to drive. Come on, just let me drive. I just can't wait. You know, personally, I'm just not a good waiter. Anybody here? Come on, we can identify with some of these stories. But today I want to talk about the importance of understanding the word wait. There are many people who would clearly drive across town and pay twice as much for an item that if they would order online and just be patient, they could wait for it. But we can't, and if they got it in town, I'm going to get it. And I know that that's something that is tough. Waiting on things are tough. But you know, sometimes it's necessary for us to wait because God's timing isn't set up with what you want right now. And you name it, but there's a lot of people that have to wait. And I know that I don't understand it, because, I serve an instant God, so it ought to be right now. Right? Come on. An instant. Miracles do happen, but most of the time, God works through time. That He doesn't always answer our prayer with a military salute that says, "Yes, sir," right away, right now. That's not the way God works. And sometimes we think that just because we prayed it, it's immediate. Because we prayed it and it's God's will, we're going to believe it and stand on it till it comes. But come on, God's people get impatient. We don't like that waiting time. Sometimes he answers immediately yes, and sometimes it's no, but it's always the sovereign knowledge that God has of what's best for us. Come on. Every one of us, what's best for us. While we don't want to run out ahead of God, we also don't want to remain idle and grow stagnant while we're waiting. So I want to talk about this today. Most of the time when God answers a prayer, it's not immediately yes, and it's not no. Now, every time in a while, but sometimes it's wait. Wait. Just wait. Just wait. And that is a response that I don't think we even talk about much, but I want to talk about it this morning. We talk about sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, but what I want to talk about this morning is sometimes he says wait. Wait, wait. Isaiah 40. Some of y'all might know exactly where I'm going. Isaiah 40, verse 26, says, look up into the heavens, who created all the stars? Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. Aren't you glad? We were out the other morning. Brad Wilson and I were out, and we were just looking at the stars. It was early a.m., and we're out there looking at the stars. And is it not amazing, the handiwork of God? I'm like, wow, God, you are an amazing, amazing artist, the way you've brought every one of these stars. If you've ever gone up north where the stars seem to be a little closer, but I've been up in Canada, and I remember one night in Canada looking at the stars and just thinking, this is the most spectacular thing I think I've ever seen. There's not a light show I've ever seen man produce like I saw what God has done. But I read that, and I think that makes sense to me. Because of his great power, not a single one of these stars is missing. Oh, Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? Oh, Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Come on, every one of us has been to a place in our life where we're like, come on, God's not seeing us. God's not hearing us. What's the deal? What's the deal? He's saying right here in verse 27, how can you say the Lord doesn't see your troubles? How can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak. He never grows weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. Sometimes I wonder when I watch young people. But the Bible says, and I've seen it, youth will become weak and tired, young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and they'll not faint. How many of y'all know this verse? See, some of y'all probably have it painted on a picture in your house. You have it somewhere around. The New King James Version you may be more familiar with if you're older. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I looked this up in a bunch of translations, and here's what I found. I found this very interesting. The King James and several others said, those who wait on the Lord. The NLT, those who trust in the Lord. The New International Version says, those who hope in the Lord. Well, which one's right? Trust, hope, wait. Lots of different versions that read wait. Lots of them read trust. Some of them read hope. Which one is right? Good question, isn't it? You go, well, I never really thought about that. I've heard that verse my whole life, but I didn't realize all the translators did it different. They've got three words that they use here. And so I did kind of a Bible study on this, and I thought I'd share it with you today. Those who wait upon the Lord. The Hebrew word that is rendered wait by a lot of the translations, and most of them, means to wait in the sense of expecting. Wait in the sense of expecting. The phrase to wait on God, or wait on Yahweh in the Hebrew, says to wait for his help. That is to trust him while you're waiting, to put your hope and put your confidence in him. So which one is it? It's all three. Wait with trust and hope, expecting God to come through with his promises. Here's the deal. It properly refers to those who were suffering in a long and terrible captivity in Babylon. They had no prospect of deliverance except for in him. The phrase is applicable also to all who feel that they are weak, feeble, guilty, helpless. In this view, they say, I put my trust, my hope, everything that I am, my weight in you, God. See, everything I'm doing right now is in you. Hope, trust, wait, while expecting him, God, to come through on his promise. Now, as I was explaining what the writers were properly stating, and theologians will say this, all of them, that they were referring to the captivity in Babylon. Well, here's what you got to know. When they were captive in Babylon, they had no hope of anything in the natural rescuing them. Oh, this is going to be good if you'll hear what I'm saying. There will be times and seasons of life where you can't see the deliverance, the rescue in anything other than God. Now, if we could get this on the front end instead of having to go, oh no, now I'm captive, what do I do? And now I have to put it in God. Let's put it in God from the beginning. But there is times and seasons of life where you can't see anything in the natural rescuing you. I don't see any way out of this. Let me just tell you, but God. See, but there's so many places in Scripture, but God said, but God promised, but God has. And if you don't get to a place, you're going to live miserable where you put your weight with expectancy, hope, and trust in him. It's got to be placed in him. Your hope, your trust, and your weight has to be in him. What does it mean for us to wait? What does it mean for us to wait as Christians, to put our hope and trust in him? That's all easy to say. But I want to ask you today, what are you waiting on that you don't see in the natural as possible? If you don't get your mind wrapped around something, I mean, I can use 100 stories, but what are you waiting on right now that you don't see happening, but God has promised something? BJ got up here earlier and said, God says, try me in this, that I won't open the windows of heaven upon you and pour out such a blessing that, I think he said, you can't fathom it, you can't contain it, you can't get it. There's no way that you're going to comprehend what I'm getting ready to do. Well, I'd be a recipient of that. How about you? So I hope it comes. I'm waiting. But there's a lot of people that will say, I'm hoping and I'm waiting, but they're doing nothing to receive it. There is a part that we play in the wait. But most people just, I'm putting my hope and trust and my weight in him. Come on now. You got to understand, there's a part that we play in this. And a lot of times all we do is we just say, this is all God. I understand that man may not have an answer. I understand that your job may not be producing what you think it needs to bring you the financial situation. But know this, it will never be your job that produces what you're needing for the financial miracle. It will never be your job. It will be you understanding that there's a principle that I play in this. See, it doesn't mean that while we wait, there's an inactivity on our part. There's no inactivity on our part. To wait on him without using any means to obtain his aid is to tempt him. The farmer, let's just talk about a farmer who was waiting on God for the harvest. If he waits on God to plow and sow his fields, he would be sadly disappointed. See, I mean, he'd be guilty of provoking God. God, I'm believing you for a harvest, and then do nothing to plant, do nothing to sow and to watch over and to tend. The man who waits for God to do what he ought to do to save him and just depends totally and wholeheartedly on grace will not only be disappointed, but God points out that you're a sluggard. Come on, there's a part we play in this. I'm trying to set this up. God gives the increase in every situation. God gives the increase. But oftentimes, it's based on what we're doing while we're waiting. And I see all the time people that say they're waiting on God to move miraculously, but they're not doing what's necessary to receive what they're waiting for. Let me say that again, because that was way better than the response. I see people all the time that are waiting on God to move miraculously, but they're not doing what's necessary for them to receive what they're waiting on. We've got to realize our role in this. Several years ago, I was thinking about a story that I saw on the news. There was a man who ran off an embankment right over by Ozark, Missouri. And in the early hours of morning, 2 or 3 in the morning, this is when it happened. And he realized the embankment he ran over, no one was going to see him. It was 2 or 3 in the morning, no one around. He ran over this embankment, and he was trapped in his car. And so he's from 2 or 3 in the morning trying to figure out what I can do. Well, while he's there, they tell the story that he saw his phone, but it was just out of reach. And he goes on to tell the story where he did everything in his power to try to reach this phone, and he worked on it for 3 or 4 hours, and at 6 a.m., somehow, they didn't tell all the details, but we did something to get that phone. You know, there's something just out of reach. But when you realize there ain't no man or woman going to come to your rescue, you'll figure out a way to get to that phone. That phone is going to have to be gotten a hold of, and at 6 a.m., he made a call, and they came and got him. See, he didn't just sit there. He worked and worked and worked to get the promises of God. Are you hearing me today? How do we take this scripture and make it applicable to our lives? Many of us are waiting on God to move, and we have to do that patiently. I get all that. But we can't just wait without effort on our part, or we've messed up what's meant here. I want my strength renewed. Anybody kind of get weak? Come on, I want my strength renewed. I'm all about that. This verse makes sense to me. So I've got to wait on the Lord for my strength to be renewed. As I was pondering this thought this week, I asked the Lord, God, help me to communicate this to your people. It's very important that I find a way where you can receive this in a way that you can apply it. And it came to me that there's nothing you can do to speed up Christmas Day. I love Christmas, and I love it because it's just so cool to watch the young people, watch everybody get excited about the celebration of Jesus. There's just something about it. The whole world don't even know it, but they put up lights all over America, and we're celebrating Jesus, and nobody even recognizes it, but they may not know it, but they are. And everywhere I look, I see people who don't serve him all year long celebrate him at Christmas. Something about it, that Christmas season. But, you know, it's October 1st. And we have a long wait. Sad, isn't it? Come on, is anybody sad? December. Can we just speed it up, please? Can it get here? Can we make tomorrow December 25th? You can't. There's nothing you can do to speed it up, to get it when you want it. Come on, there's nothing you can do. So what do? You can sit there and bellyache about it. You can be frustrated that it's not Christmas yet. You can say, I just wish it was Christmas so I wouldn't have to go to school. I just wish it was Christmas so I didn't have to go to work. Whatever it is, you can wish and wish and wish all you want. But the fact is, there is nothing you can do to speed it up and make it Christmas tomorrow. You can't do it. And so what are you going to do? You can get frustrated. You can wait with a bad attitude. Then when it gets here, I've found that people who just get so frustrated because it's not here yet, when it gets here, you're disappointed. It just wasn't quite as good as what I was frustrated that it was supposed to be. You can wait, you can trust, you can hope that Christmas Day will be great. And let me just tell you how you can make it great. You can start working on it right now. Come on, you can start working on it right now. Those who don't start early don't have enough money saved to do what they were hoping they could do at Christmas. See, those who haven't thought it all ahead of time, when Christmas Day gets here, it's not ever what it was going to be because you didn't plan, you didn't do your part before it got here. Well, maybe that just all made sense in my mind. But really, when Christmas Day gets here, are you going to be ready? I'm going to be ready. I have a granddaughter that's going to be one this month. And just know that this Christmas is going to be good. We'll take video, and if you want to see all of the boring things to you, their excitement to me, it's going to be awesome watching her walk in and her eyes go. I do that right now with her with a rock. You just think when we get some real presents there, it's going to be good. See, I'm thinking about that right now, so that I'm prepared when I receive what I know is going to be Christmas Day. And I think if you could get that principle, you could say the things that you're waiting on right now, what are you doing right now to receive it? Because it's coming. The promises of God are for you. Why don't you do something right now to enjoy them? Acts chapter 1. I want to get into this a little deeper. Are you with me this morning? All right, good. Acts chapter 1. Verse 4, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them. Once he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. When did he tell him before? Well, he told him in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, he said, and I'll send you the Holy Spirit just as the Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. See, he'd already told him this. And then in Acts, he says, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you back in Luke. Now, he didn't say back in Luke, but that's when he told him. John baptized with water, verse 5, but in just a few days, you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? I love that because when I think of the disciples saying that, I think of what kids do on trips. Are we almost there yet? Are we almost? I've been waiting and waiting and waiting. I even go all the way back and I remember Papa Smurf. Papa Smurf, are we almost there yet? Maybe you don't remember that. Anyway. No, we're not there. No, we're not there. Yep, we're almost there. And then right before they get there, no, we're not there. You're just tired of hearing it. But they just keep asking Jesus, Lord, has the time come? Has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He said this, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates. Come on, church, you're waiting on something. The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Here's what's going to happen. You'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And then if you jump down to verse 12, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of half a mile. When they arrived, they went to the upstairs room of the house where they were staying. Here are the names of those who were present: Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Simon, and Judas. They all met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and the brothers of Jesus. During this time, when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up and addressed them. Now, what do you do while you're waiting? What do you do while you're waiting? We just said what you do, and I want to give you just 5 points this morning that will make you go, oh, I'm waiting on something, and now I know what I need to do. Here's the first thing the disciples did while they were waiting. They understood their purpose in waiting and what they were waiting on. They understood it. Come on, you got to get the promises of God in you so you know what you're waiting for. A lot of people never believe in healing because they never understand that it's a promise of God. See, a lot of people never get a hold of the financial understanding of where you're at financially because they never get an understanding of the promises of God. Now, I'm not saying that he's going to sit here and whoop, make you a millionaire, but he will make you a giver so his kingdom can be furthered. And how do we operate here in the world? With money. And so he's going to give just plain old money or whatever's necessary for you to be able to further his kingdom. It takes money to turn lights on. It takes money for things of the kingdom to be furthered in the natural sense. Now, in the supernatural, he can do whatever he wants. I get that. But we all go to work so we can pay a light bill. Right? So here's the thing. You got to know in your knower. I don't know where that's at, but you just got to know that God's promise is for you. God's promise is for you. It's for you. What are you waiting on? You better make sure you know what you're waiting on and that it's a promise of God. Because I got a lot of people that's waiting on things and they can't line up scripturally what they're waiting on. And you're going to be sadly mistaken when that never comes. Because you spend your whole life waiting on something that wasn't a promise of God. Come on, know the promises of God. Know the promises. Well, how do I know that? There is lots of resources, and you've got to do the work to get it. They hung out with Jesus. Why don't you hang out with Jesus? That's what, they knew the promises because they've been hanging out with Jesus. Let me use a story in the natural because I am thrilled with this time of year. The weather's getting cooler. Come on, it's awesome. The mornings, that nice feeling when you walk out that just smells like a deer stand. It's just something about it. And last year was a great year for me. I love being in a deer stand. And what happened was, is I was in Kansas City, and I knew what I was waiting on. I was waiting on the biggest deer that I had ever seen in my life. That's what I was waiting on. And so I was just waiting for it to come into my sight. And so I'm sitting there. This is just one morning after a lot of other mornings that I was waiting and never saw it. Years of waiting and had never seen it. But this one morning I saw it. It was back in the woods, and it was chasing a doe. Hunters, when you got a doe that's being chased by a buck, something starts going inside of you. Now, you got to do that real slow. It's, you know, because you don't want to get caught. And so I'm in the stand, and I'm seeing, for those of you that aren't deer hunting, I'm trying to make this really important so you can get the point. I see this deer over in the woods. And I'm thinking, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in the woods on my own. This is a great day. Except for it wasn't close enough for me to do anything about it except for watch with my binoculars. So I'm watching and I'm waiting. This is the most horrible wait in the world. When you know the promise is there, you know the trophy is there, and you're going, God, is this your promise? You're asking the question. Because I haven't found that one in the Word yet. I've looked. But I'm sure hoping, and I'm just using this as an illustration. I sit there and I wait and I wait and wait. And I'm in the stand, and I had been praying that morning. I've been praying for our church. I've been praying for each of you. I do that a lot when I'm in the stand. I just start calling out each of your names when God's sitting there laying you on my heart, and I'm praying for what's going on in your hearts and lives. And that's what I'd been doing that morning. And then I thought, when I'm sitting there, I saw that deer, and I thought, okay, God, please bring that over here. You have not because you asked not, so I'm asking. So that's what I'm doing. I'm asking God, bring it right over here in front of me. This would be really good. An hour later, I'm still asking. And I'm still seeing it every once in a while, and then it disappears. And I'm like, oh, no. Haven't seen it in 15 or 20 minutes. Well, you know what I start doing then? I start saying, okay, God, what area of sin is in my life? Oh, I got to get rid of some sin right now. And I'm asking, please just reveal. And you know, I asked him to start revealing sin, and I started thinking of things that I had probably done wrong or said wrong. And oh, God, I'm sorry here, and I'm sorry here. And I'm thinking, and then before long, I'm like, okay, I'm only doing this to get a deer. This is really, I probably shouldn't tell this because y'all are thinking really weird thoughts about your pastor right now. But this is what was happening. And if you're a hunter, you get it, okay? And so I'm up there. And so I'm thinking this deer's got to come over here. Okay, God, I'm sorry. I'm sitting here confessing sin to get a deer, not because I want restored relationship with you. That really hit me. And so I'm in the deer stand, and I've shared this with a few of you all, but I'm feeling convicted and horrible now. And so I almost just crawled out and said, okay, I just need to go. And I thought, no, I didn't sit here and do business with God, and that deer's gone. And I'd convinced myself that it was. And I just thought, it's not his timing, there'll be another day. It's not about that deer. It's no big deal. And I just sat there, and I wept. I remember being in the deer stand, crying and saying, God, I just want more than anything, more than a deer. I want a restored relationship with you. And I just felt such a peace come over me as I'm sitting in that deer stand. I remember like it was yesterday. And I just sit there, and I thought, okay, I'm better now. I'm just going to sit back, and I'm going to start praying for people in our church again. And that's what I did. And I just kind of out of the corner of my eye, I looked over, and that same deer was right across the field from me. And I said, you do love me. But understand, I had to get the right heart. And if it had never come, I had the right heart, it would eventually come, because even though it may not be a promise out of the word, I feel he's told me, you got one coming at some point. 47, it's about time. Thank you, God. And it walks over, and the doe comes over the tree. Lots of stories. But anyway, the end of the story is, I just picked it up this week, and it's hanging on my wall. Anyway. End of story. Hunting season starting right now, and I've been praying. I don't know if there's a promise 2 years in a row. I'm having to outpray my wife, though, because she's not about another deer in the living room, I'm sure. Here's what I want you to see. You better have in mind what the promise is. See, that's the first thing. The second thing you need to understand is very important, is you got to position yourself to receive the promise. Had I got out of the stand, I wouldn't have been in position. Please understand, I'm just using that story. That's not a story, that's the promise of God. I'm just trying to relate something that makes sense to you, and it makes sense to me. But there is a power that the disciples were waiting on, the power of the Holy Spirit. It had been promised. Jesus had said, this is what you're waiting on, and you got to know what God's promises are. And so as you know what they are, then you can sit there and you can go, I know God's promises for this, and I'm going to put myself in a position where I can receive it. And that's what they did. They were in the right place. They were in Jerusalem. Verse 12, they were in Jerusalem. They were in the exact right place. Not just Jerusalem. They were in the upper room. They were ready. Being in position, come on, church, is important. Position is everything. Being in a position by putting yourself in line with what you're receiving. I have watched people that have lost a job where they made a lot of money. I've seen it. And then I have heard, and I know several stories just like this, I'm not going to take a job that pays me less than what I was making. That has never made sense to me. Because they're dependent upon a job to provide what God said, that his people wouldn't be out begging for bread. See, just put your hand to the plow and go to work. But I've watched people that's not going to accept a job because it's less money than what they were making. And I've said, well, how can you do that? What you're doing is putting yourself in a position to not get a job. And then I have watched others that said, you know what, I've got to work. And they took the first job that was made available to them. And then I watched, through that job that they took, I watched then someone come in and say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing, and the advancement was made, and in a very short time, they were making more than what their previous job was. Don't miss the position. Come on, I'm not doing that because it's not what I thought. God's timing works, and you got to get to work. You got to get to work while you're waiting on the financial thing, when you're waiting on the peace to come, when you're waiting on his will, when you're waiting on your son or your daughter to come in line, when you're waiting on healing, when you're waiting on a loved one to come home, when you're waiting on, what are you doing? Are you just sitting there belly aching and frustrated? Or do you have yourself set in motion day in and day out? God, I'm claiming your promises every day. I'm finding everything I can to put myself in a position to receive exactly what you have for me. So the second thing is put yourself in position. The third one, what do you do while you're waiting? In verse 14, says they were constantly united in prayer. Church, we got to pray while we wait. You got to pray. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God unless it is preceded by prayer. John Wesley, a quote from John Wesley. Nothing happens in the kingdom of God unless it's preceded by prayer. If you're going to stand and wait on a promise, you better start praying. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, don't quit. Keep praying. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. Just, when do I pray? All the time. Don't quit. Don't quit. They were impassionate about their prayers. They were persuasive in their prayers. And men should always be praying with earnest expectation. Number four, they were persistent while they were waiting. Come on, how many of y'all waiting on something with God and you've lost your persistency? Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Setting that stand every day for the next 10 years, that deer's coming, hunter. Come on. I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting, I'm waiting. If you don't stay persistent, you'll never receive. If you don't stay persistent and continue, well, I've given my tithe for the last 3 months. Try it for 30 years. See if windows don't start opening. You do the things of God for a very short time expecting something, and when it doesn't come based on your expectancy, you've missed the promise. Come on, hang in there, hang in there. Someone makes you mad, and so you leave. I'm just frustrated. You know, what you don't know is you didn't do anything to hurt that person. You hurt yourself. Stay persistent in the things of God. Don't let a man or a woman or an attitude or something that wasn't exactly what you wanted remove you from God's promise. Stay persistent. And the fifth thing, well, before I get to that, let me just talk about, as they were persistent, what they didn't do. It's important. They didn't quit while they were waiting. They didn't complain while they were waiting. Come on, that one's a tough one. But I don't see anywhere in there disciples were complaining. They didn't throw in the towel while they were waiting, and they didn't turn their back on God while they're waiting. But I see people all the time that are this close to the promises of God manifesting in their family, and they turn their back and say, I'm out of here. Not just in church, I'm talking about in the things of God. Number five, they remained in unity. They met together. See, they all continued these things in unity by his word. The word brings unity. Because they had a word, they stood on the word. Verse 4, he commanded them to wait for the promise of the Father. And then in Luke 24, it explains that. And we have to understand that there is a remaining in unity on the promise. Well, I don't know. I think I have a promise from God. Get some agreement with somebody. Is this a promise of God? Because I'm going to stand in unity in an agreement. And when I got some agreement, I can move forward. You'll find that when there is not agreement between Christian people, you'll find unity not there. And when unity's not there, you halt the progress of God. You halt it. Well, you can do that? Yeah, you can remove yourself from his promises. And that would have been progress for you. It's impossible to please God without faith. Everybody gets that. Anybody who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. See, they knew their faith would be rewarded. They'd walked with him. They saw his work. They saw the miracles. They saw his resurrection body. They knew his word was true. You got to get a word from God. Chapter 2, verse 2. Here's what we're looking for, church. Suddenly the wait was over. Come on, how many of y'all looking for suddenly? Suddenly the wait was over. Hallelujah. Suddenly the wait was over. What I'm here to tell somebody today is your suddenly's close. Come on, enjoy, embrace, get excited about, stay persistent, know what you're waiting on. Put yourself in position to receive it. Because suddenly, church, one day it'll happen. If it's a promise of God, suddenly, one day it happens. Psalm 27:14, wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave, courageous, but wait patiently for the Lord. Psalm 37:7, be still in the presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Isaiah 8:17, I will wait for the Lord. Isaiah 30:18, so the Lord must wait for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. You know, God gets the waiting game, because how long did he have to wait on you? Oh, I never thought of it like that. God has waited for a lot of people for a long time. Here's my deal. I know that things right now may seem frustrating while you're waiting, but if you'll take these five principles and you'll make them applicable to your life, all I'm telling you is you can stand on the promise and there can be enjoyment in the wait. I just believe while they were in the upper room praying, singing, enjoying, when the Holy Spirit fell was when they got uncaught up on the answer and got so caught up on God that he just wowed him with the answer. I think about that with that illustration being in the deer stand. It was when I got so caught up on God that all of a sudden I looked up. There it is. Come on, let's get so caught up on God that what we're waiting on becomes not our focus, but he comes so our focus that all of a sudden, suddenly, I didn't even realize today was the day. Come on, it's got cold chills. Suddenly, today. Come on, today's your day. Today's your day to get caught up on the Lord. Let's get caught up on the Lord. And then suddenly, y'all stand with me this morning.
For more information about all that is happening here at Christian Ministries Church, visit cmchurch.net or like us on Facebook, Christian Ministries Church, Southwest Missouri. Have a very blessed day.